Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 5th of June, Anno Domini 2010, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we have guests in the studio. Why don't we
introduce.
Step up and introduce yourself?
You can use either names.
I'm Dory.
And that's Tay over there, and they've come in from parts unknown for no discernible reason, and oddly, we let them into the studio.
And they wanted to hang with us.
How these things happen. Where's D? I thought D was going to come up. But apparently not. I'm not blaming you entirely. But I think we need to start with the news.
Well, we should also announce to folks that this is the official
That's true.
One-year anniversary, as of today, that we started here on Jazz 90.1.
That's right. 1 year ago today. And for some reason, they leave us on the air. I don't understand any of that either. But thank you. We'll be here all week.
Unattended.
Tip your waiter.
Unattended and unsupervised.
Mostly without any adult supervision. Well, we have Karen here now. We have Dory here now. So that's a whole other story. But
beyond how far that'll take us.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, let us start with the news. On Wednesday, AT&T announced new wireless data plans, based on the amount of data subscribers use. The change spells the end of unlimited wireless data use for new customers and likely higher charges for existing customers who use more than 2 gigabytes of data per month, and you know who you are, for activities such as watching videos and online gaming. Existing customers can keep the unlimited plans they have, but can switch to the new ones without having to extend their service contracts. Also, after a trail of continuous promises until it starts, the carrier will finally let laptops and other devices tether, which you have to move to the new plan for, which means to use some smartphone models, including the iPhone, on the AT&T network as a broadband connection. But subscribers will have to pay $20 more a month for the tethering service. That's still less than the capped data connect plans that AT&T currently offers at $35 and $60 per month for laptops or netbooks fitted with cellular modems. Tethering for iPhones will be available this summer when Apple releases iPhone OS 4.0. Based on the new data pricing, AT&T's voice and data bundle now starts at $59.99 for an individual plan and $24.99 per month for an additional line and a family talk plan. That's $15 less than the previous starting price, but it's only 200 meg a month. The usage-based plans are part of a cellular industry trend to require the relatively small number of heavy data users to pay more for using more. In May, Verizon Wireless announced that consumers of the upcoming LTE 4G network likewise will pay for buckets of data. And many of us use buckets of data. In Europe, both Vodafone and Orange often cap data plans for iPhone and iPad users. Hopefully that means that those of us on 3G will not have to pay more, which is a good thing. New users will have a choice between two data plans starting June 7th. Data Plus, which is we're back on AT&T now, which is Data Plus is $15 a month for 200 megabytes of data traffic, or Data Pro, which is $25 a month for 2 gigabytes. According to AT&T, 98% of its customers use less than 2 gig, and 65% use less than 200 meg. Customers on the 200 meg plan who exceed their limit can get another 200 meg for $15. Customers running over the 2-gig limit can pay $10 for an additional gig. Here's an interesting tidbit. Streaming just one movie from Netflix uses about 1.8 gig of your 2-gig monthly limit, unless it's HD, of course, in which case it uses about 3 gig of your 2-gig limit. So under this new plan, watching one HD movie from Netflix will cost you about $35. No more relaxing on the couch every night watching movies on your iPad. What are you going to use it for now? So we have our questions online at our poll at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And the question is this. What do you think of AT&T's new pricing plan? And the choices are, I'll never use 200 meg a month, I'll never use 2 gig a month, I'll never use AT&T, I'll be paying through the nose, and I have absolutely no clue. So far, we have 38 votes, and I'll never use AT&T is in the lead with 19 votes, followed closely by an honest, I have absolutely no clue, at 15 votes. So you should vote online at soundbites.org. When you're done, I just know you're going to have things to say about this one. So when you are done voting, if you look at the little yellow box underneath, you will see a link. It says, give us your opinion. That takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Where you can enter your opinion. The question is, how do you feel about the new AT&T pricing plan? Keep it clean. And once you're there, take a look around at the stuff I do on my website. I send out a newsletter with interesting stuff on it. And you can join that. It's only $15 a year. I don't know why you're not a member. And then come on back and see all the cool stuff we do at soundbites.org. For those of you who are Ask Nick members, some of you have not. There's been something, I don't know, I'm having an argument still with PayPal.
With yourself?
I may have to move over to the Google payment
checkout
thing. Google checkout, yeah. Whatever that's called. I don't really care.
Or write your own.
That's so not going to happen. You have no idea how much that's not going to happen.
Listening with Security Now with Steve Gibson, he didn't trust any of them, so he wrote his own.
That's the way to do it.
In assembler.
Yeah, right.
He writes everything in assembler.
Right, and that's Steve Gibson, man. I tell you what, there's a guy, he writes stuff in assembler, and it's fast, and it's tiny, and it's just really, really well done. All right, that's it for that.
I was going to say, one of the things about the AT&T thing is there sort of two changes in the way the industry has dealt with data plans. Is the typical unlimited data plan has, in the past, been 5 gigs. So they're cutting that in less than half of what the typical unlimited used to mean, 5 gigs.
Right.
And for most of the other carriers, adding a data plan to your smartphone was in the $50 to $60 a month for that 5 gigs. So it's interesting that they're cutting it down to 2 gigs. Of course, AT&T responds by saying that 98% of our customers use less than 2 gigs a month.
Yep.
But that's 98% of all AT&T customers.
Right.
I bet it's close to 100% of iPhone, iPad customers use more than 2 gigs a month.
Oh, there's no question.
Oh, yeah. Hello. And they don't even go near that one. Yeah.
Right. And the big thing is, look at any iPad commercial. Yeah. What is it they tout? You can watch movies.
Yep.
You can stream music. You can play multiplayer games.
Yep.
Not anymore, you can't.
You can if you want to pay.
Yeah, pay through the nose.
You're going to be looking for those Wi-Fi
spots.
Well,
and then I guess what they're figuring is, if you're going to pay all that money for what's essentially a phone to begin with, you might as well
pay it.
You
like
got
a
enough
phone.
Money. You got enough money to pay for all the rest of it too, right?
So more people are going to be looking for Wi-Fi. They do say that you can use the AT&T Wi-Fi hotspots for free at Starbucks and other shops, but we're hearing from all over the country that the Starbucks Wi-Fi rarely works.
Yeah, right. No, this is a bad idea. And if anybody from Verizon is listening and you're really planning to do the same thing,
hopefully it's not a trend.
That's dumb.
Well, they've already started with it on their smartphones.
Feature phone. They've created a new class of phones to charge you $10
a month.
All right,
like I got into last night.
All right, and you're going to and last week and the week before and the week before.
You can turn that feature on if I don't have it on my phone. So why can't they do the reverse?
And turn it off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, you don't have to be a mental midget to figure out that one.
Because I can't make
money that
way,
dude.
Yeah.
No lie.
They don't make
money. Right. And Jim said they don't make money that way.
Well,
it's not that they aren't making money. They aren't making enough money.
Yeah. And the first time you get that $2,000 phone bill because you had a per K data charge because you didn't have the plan, then you call up and are mad. So it's you have to feel just what's less than a fraction? An infinitesimally small amount of pity for the cell phone company.
No, I don't.
Because no, I feel for them, but I'm sitting.
Yeah,
no,
they do get a lot of these calls, but
I don't
the
care.
Public are educated now.
The point is this. If you offer a service, I believe it behooves you
right.
to make sure that service actually works.
Unless,
and that it actually... Yeah, I know. And more shocked, than, I've shocked Dory. I'm sorry. I apologize. I beg your pardon.
And more than 4 days notice that you're changing the rules ridiculously.
Right.
Yeah, this what, came out on Wednesday, and it takes effect Monday.
Yeah, this is possibly the stupidest thing AT&T has done. You know, but it's a long list, and I'd have to really... It will get worse.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
doubt that. And really, Verizon, if you're thinking of doing this, it's a stupid, stupid idea. Let me name a couple of things to you. Sprint, T-Mobile. Yep. There are other places I can go and still get my Android telephone. And I don't need, you know, any one of those places that's still doing unlimited data plans that actually mean unlimited will get my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll guarantee you there are a bunch of other people who are going to do the same. And I really, really, really think you're making a big mistake if you do it the other way. Listen, Verizon, you're like the biggest carrier there is.
Because coverage is becoming less and less of an issue.
The $380 disconnect fee that it cost me to get rid of this and go to another carrier is far cheaper than the $2,000 bill that I'm going to get.
Exactly. It's actually, if it's an ROI, it's return on investment.
Absolutely.
Pay $400 to kill my data plan and never talk to Verizon again in my life. That's the way it's going to work. A lot of people are going to look at that. A lot of people have the smarts to figure that out. We're not all stupid sheep anymore.
Nah.
It used to be that we were, right? I mean, a phone is a phone is a phone. And people bought their phone from Ma Bell and kept it forever and paid the $5 a month and never thought about it again. Now people are educated consumers. Nobody's got money. People don't even have jobs. And they're going to look at it and say, this is going to cost me more than I can afford. If I have to make the choice between putting more food or better food on my table or being able to stream a movie to my 3-inch telephone screen, no, I think not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen.
No.
And so I think that we're going to find a lot of people having those kind of problems. I don't know. It just, you know, and Jack made a point on the IRC chat. You know, I pay for things, other things, you know, that are unlimited. And why shouldn't this be just like that? It's like buying a car. Yeah, I still have to put gas in it, but I buy a car and I can drive it for, 11 years in my case.
Until you're running into the ground.
Right.
Or it totally dies.
And yeah, I'll pay for repairs, but I'm not paying by the mile.
Mm-mm. Hell no.
You know, I bought the car.
You paid it once. Why keep paying and paying?
Right.
But you can only drive it on roads.
Not
necessarily.
Yeah. And, you know, and even in the old Ford Taurus, there were times that I drove it and there were no roads.
Not sure that, you know, was meant to be, but, you know, it can be done.
That's right.
Especially when they sit there and go, let's go four-wheeling.
We didn't intend for that in the use of our product.
Right, and Archandra is also saying on the IRC chat, it's like, you know, you rent an apartment. If the electricity or gas are included in the rent, then, you know, they don't say, well, it's included in the rent up until X.
Right.
You know, if it's included, it's included. We have an email that came to us at Soundbites, sbites@soundbites.org. And it's from Art, from, I will not pronounce this correctly, Kailua Kona, Hawaii, who just said, wanted to let you know you still have a listener on the Big Island. So that's awful nice. Art?
You know, I wonder if we could do a remote from there.
I don't see why not. He comes up here every once in a while. We should, and Art, next time you come up, don't forget, give me a call. But, you know, we'll come down and see you.
Have him come over and talk to Rob and see if we could do a remote from there.
We should be able to do
that. I'd be willing to, you know, take some time off from the shop and go there and do a remote for the station.
You're a generous, generous man. Yeah, he's being,
twist my arm.
He's twisting his arm to do that.
Yep.
So, thank you, Art. It's glad to know you're there. And I don't know, you remember, your job is to get 5 other people to listen to the show and then get 5 of them and then get 5 of them. And then you can all go and get it on your local public radio station, and they can drive and ship us out and do a show.
Mm-hmm.
See, then we all win. Because I don't know if you knew this, but our budget here isn't quite big enough, guys. Not just we're just missing a little bit, but not quite big enough,
right,
to actually do a remote from Hawaii. But,
you know, sponsored.
If it was sponsored, now we need a good sponsor. Anybody out there listening who would like to sponsor a remote in Hawaii? Here he comes. We knew he was coming.
Speaking of the boss,
Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Rob, for volunteering.
And see, Rumballs will bring him in every time.
Rumballs bring him in. We knew we'd see you today. Don't see you for months and months. Rumballs in the studio.
Well,
and Rob
here. Here's the deal. I don't drink before 2 on a Saturday. You know what I'm saying?
It's 2 somewhere in the world.
Well, I figured I'd come in and say happy anniversary.
Well, thank you so much.
And it's great. I can't believe it's been a year already.
It's frightening, isn't it?
Well, because it's been a year, I figure we're going to replace your show with Dr. Laura.
Perfect.
You know, I hope
thank
you don't mind. Yeah.
No, it's not a problem. Yeah. I can do that. You're an idiot. What's wrong with you, you moron? You jerk.
So as long as it's not Dr. Phil.
There's that.
Now, if it was Dr. Demento, we wouldn't mind.
I'd actually listen if it was Dr. Demento.
Well, congratulations on the 1 year, guys.
Thank
it's
you
great
so
to
much.
Have you here. You okay over there with the headphones or what?
No, I can't put my glass. It's my allergies. That with the cottonwoods,
mm-hmm.
My sinuses sweat.
Oh, yeah?
On the outside. So I'm constantly, it's like I'm crying. I've got to keep wiping.
Yep.
This is a very sad show to do, and consequently. It's a pain in the neck is what it actually is.
And it's quite a bit warm in this studio, too.
Yeah, it's always warm in here. It's the quality air conditioning system we have here.
It's a very good, well, you know, people just need to pledge more and we'll have
right.
a better air conditioner.
Possibly.
While you were walking up, we were talking about, we have Art from Hawaii called.
I heard
didn't
that.
Call, but he, yeah. And so we were talking about doing a remote.
Yes.
In there.
If he wants to fund us all coming down there, we'll be there.
Well, my thought was this. He tells 5 people to listen to his show. They all start listening to his show. They tell 5 people. They tell 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we get it on the local public radio station
right.
in Hawaii. They bring us down.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how that works.
I'm there.
Why do you get to come?
Because.
I see. I didn't realize there was I see now. It makes more sense to me.
I'm the producer originally. Remember the reticent producer?
You were the reticent
Come on
producer.
Now.
That's right. How long did it take us to get you to actually talk on the air?
It was a while.
We couldn't shut you up.
That's right. Well, if I remember, the show used to be, Sundays over there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Saturday nights, I was going out, and, you know, so Sunday mornings, it wasn't that I didn't want to talk. I really couldn't.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Pretty much. We've seen some of the pictures that you still apparently take in that state. Yeah.
You want to hit your break, and then I'll hang out for a minute? All right.
All right, this is it. The music will start any moment, and we will be taking a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the longest-running computer show in the known universe on our one-year anniversary here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dory Tay, Rob Linton, me, Nick, I've missed that. Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbite. So you people stay tuned. We are member-supported Jazz 90.1, and you're having more fun than you know what to do with.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Here's a tip to the wise for all you tech savvy scenesters. One click will take you directly from the Jazz 90.1 website straight to the station's very popular Facebook and MySpace pages. Once there, you'll be privy to special announcements, exclusive contests, Jazz Insider info, everything to keep you hip to all the hip happenings at Jazz 90.1. So click on over to jazz901.org and help take Jazz even further.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and CMAC, presenting Jethro Tull with very special guest Procol Harum, Thursday, June 17th, 8 p.m. at CMAC, located at 3355 Marvin Sands Drive in Canandaigua, on the campus of Finger Lakes Community College. For more information, you may visit cmacevents.com or call 758-5330.
Many adults suffer from arthritis. This condition can make toothbrushing a challenge. Fortunately, there are ways to modify your toothbrush to make brushing easier. One option is a power toothbrush, which may be easier and more effective for you. If you use a manual toothbrush, Try adapting it by enlarging the handle with a rubber ball or a bicycle handle, which will make the toothbrush easier to grip. You can also lengthen the handle with a ruler or wooden tongue depressor. Remember to use a soft bristle brush and to replace your toothbrush every 3 to 4 months, or sooner if the bristles are worn. If you have any questions about which toothbrush is best for you, ask your dentist. You're never too old for a healthy and young-looking smile. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez-Howell. For more information, visit our website at ada.org.
When you underwrite the programming of Jazz 90.1, you make your business known to people who enjoy jazz as much as you do. Your on-air message is short and tasteful, making it easy to remember, with basic information about your business, including how to reach you. Underwriting is economical, too. To find out more about underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
This is station manager Rob Linton. Not only is Jazz 90.1 your one source for everything you need to know about the Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, but we're also the only radio station in town to be giving away tons of tickets and club passes to the RIJF. Not only that, but we'll give you a chance to win a grand prize package consisting of an overnight stay at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester Riverside, plus a Jazz Festival club pass. Club passes sold out weeks ago. Keep listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1 for your chance to win.
Hi, this is Greg Lefebvre. Join me every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for Doc's Juke Joint on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry. Jeez, I almost put my eye out.
I'm Steve Ray.
Jeez Louise. Put it back, Rob, when you're done.
And we have Dory and Tay and Rob Linton here in the studio. Rob left. He had his rum balls, and he's staggered out.
I almost put my eye out with that.
At 25 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And on the phone, we have Jeff. Where are you calling from, Jeff?
I'm calling from Brighton.
And what can we do for you today?
All right. I have a little issue here. I'm running Windows XP, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't load up my desktop, my operating system. But I had an image on my backup drive that I tried to reinstall on the hard drive, and it seems to get stuck every time I'm trying to put it back to restore it.
What's the error message?
I'm not getting an error message. I'm using a program called Acronis.
Right.
And it just seems to starts restoring the image, and then it just hangs. And no matter what I do, it just keeps hanging. Am I going to have to reinstall the operating system?
You may want to run some disk checks first, because it may be a bad spot on your disk. The same thing preventing it from booting regular is also preventing it from restoring the image. So if you can boot another disk to get scan disk running on it, or if you have other disk utilities you can run on it, there may be something wrong in the disk. If you're lucky, it's just a soft problem that can be remapped. Is the drive making any odd noises?
No, the problem is, it seems that all the data is intact on the C drive. It just gets hung up when it gets to when it starts pulling up the desktop.
Yeah, it's
so that's why I tried to restore it.
It's trying to read a certain spot on the hard drive, read a certain file, and that file is likely corrupted. If it's a bad block on the hard drive, it can get mapped out. If the hard drive is failing, then you're sort of out of luck there. But what you may be able to do is if that restore image is complete and intact, is erase the hard drive. When you use the format command in Windows, then it will map out any bad sectors, and theoretically the hard drive will work then. If it finds too many bad sectors, then you probably want to consider replacing the drive.
Okay. I think the drive is okay, so I may try to do that and try to clear the drive out then.
Right.
Be aware that once a drive starts going...
Push your button.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, turn my mic on? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to Rob, and that's always confusing. Be aware that if once your drive starts going, how old is your machine?
It's about 4 years old.
Yeah. You may want to think about a new hard drive.
Okay.
That could be the safest thing in the long run.
All right.
Now, before you go, Jeff.
Yeah.
You should tell us a little bit about the Hot Blues for the Homeless event tomorrow.
Oh, boy. You guys found me out, huh?
Yeah, we did. Jeff is one of our DJs here at member-supported Jazz 90.1.
That's why I like to be anonymous on the radio. I didn't realize you guys knew who I was.
But Rob blew you in.
Oh, no. Well, now that I'm here, yes, we're doing the Hot Blues for the Homeless Benefits tomorrow, 4 to 9. We've got our headliner, Rory Block. We've got Steve Grills on the Roadmasters, Joe Beard, Fred Vine, Gordon Munding, and all the proceeds go to the France Center. It's a homeless center here in Rochester.
And where and when?
It is tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's a concert at the Water Street Music Hall. And there's a workshop component from 1 to 3, and Rory Block will be doing a guitar workshop during that.
Wonderful stuff all the way around.
Tickets available, Ticketmaster, and the Bop Shop, and Record Archive.
Great music for a great cause. I don't know how you can go wrong.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Right, bye. I've never met a reticent DJ before. That's amazing. Yeah, in general, when your machine is more than 3 years old and you start having problems with your hard drive, it's definitely time to think about changing that hard drive out.
Yeah, Google has done some studies on the millions of hard drives they've run through, and they've found about a 20% per year failure rate. So at 3 years, you're at 60% chance of failure.
Right. All right, our next caller is John. Where are you calling from, John?
Rochester, New York. Thanks for taking my call, Nick.
Our pleasure. What can we do for you?
My CD DVD drive can read, but the other driver cannot write or burn files, with the exception that I can burn pictures from EasyShare and music from my iTunes. But I have gone to my computer and looked at the properties, and under the general tab it shows under that E-drive, use space 0 bytes and free space 0 bytes. So,
well, they always say that on CD drives.
Okay. Yeah.
But what
That's
other,
normal.
What other program are you trying to use?
That doesn't work.
That's just it. It's just the CD DVD drive that... I can't read files. I can't burn files to it.
But you said it works in iTunes and EasyShare?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. So what program doesn't it work in?
Oh, if you just stick the drive in and open up the folder, you can't copy stuff to it.
No, nothing. The menu doesn't show the option to
right.
burn.
All right.
So it's the Windows desktop isn't burning.
Right.
That's actually a program. What's the name of it? DirectCD?
DirectCD, yeah.
Something like that,
right.
Yeah. It's a program built into Windows that allows you to burn on the desktop. You can try a different burning program, a general burning program like Nero or what's Roxio's? Easy CD Creator.
Yeah.
I like Toast is their
Although
Mac
Nero, program. Nero is becoming mainly the mainstream for most drives out now. Any of them that I'm getting, and I've tried a number of different manufacturers, Nero seems to be taking the biggest foothold.
So could I download Nero just from the
No, you've got to have it come with a drive.
Well, you can buy it separately.
You can buy it separately.
Yeah, but
they may have a free demo.
But here's the thing, though. What he's going to pay for the Nero, he might as well just go ahead and get a new DVD drive.
Well,
a new DVD drive is only $30.
We don't know if it's the drive or the software. And
right.
since EasyShare and iTunes do burn, it's probably not the drive.
Right.
It's probably the Windows software.
Here's the thing. One of the things that you should have gotten with your computer is a bunch of CDs.
A bunch of CDs?
Right.
Yeah.
With the operating system and drivers and all kinds of other stuff. One of those CDs should have the Nero software, the Roxio software, something.
Okay.
It may, in fact, even be loaded on your computer. So if you hit the start button and look through all programs, you may find it loaded. And if you load that, you should be able to burn CDs and DVDs.
Okay, I'm glad I don't have a problem with my...
The other drive's working fine, though, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I
was just wondering, is it the burner is my CD-ROM drives, right?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's my burner in the...
if you only have one...
is the disk drive, right?
Do you have two optical drives?
I have two drives.
One's just a reader, and one's a reader and a writer?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
It was famous in the Dells. Dells quite often would just put a reader... for the CD, and then the DVD burner was a burner and
a second drive.
Yeah, for the second drive.
For that $2 price difference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in other words, right now, on my disk drive, I'm pretty sure it's a Samsung WD-1600. I believe that would be my what I play my CDs on, correct? And my DVD/CD-ROM drive would be my burner.
Could be, yes.
Yeah, if you have two trays that pop out of the computer, you have two physical drives, yeah.
Because when I go to my my registry, it lists a disk drive and a DVD CD-ROM drive.
Disk drive with a K is the hard drive inside your computer.
Okay.
But if you have two optical drives, two disk drives with a C, the trays stick out. If you have two separate trays that come out of your computer, then you have two optical drives
on
as well.
On the front of each of those trays, it should tell you what kind of drive it is. It should say CD-R or CD-RW.
Yeah, I have the bottom one. The one is DVD RDL.
Yeah, DVD R double layer.
Disk
yep.
rewritable.
Yeah,
that is. That
you can write on that.
Yes. Right.
What's the other one say?
The other one is just says DVD ROM.
Yeah, so that's a CD DVD reader.
That's
yeah.
only
yeah.
a reader.
Right.
Yeah, that's only a reader.
Yeah, that's only a reader.
The other thing to check, and I'm posting a link on our link list, is if you go into your My Computer and do a properties on that burning drive, make sure the button that says Enable Recording is turned on, because it may have gotten turned off accidentally.
So go to My Computer.
Right-click on the burning drive and choose Properties.
Right, you got to click on the right drive, correct? Because
yep.
only one of your drives will actually write.
Right.
Okay, right. Click on the burning drive, and then I go to...
And then one of the tabs says recording.
Wait, he's missing a step. He's back a step. Once you've right-clicked, you get a drop-down menu.
Yeah.
The lowest one on that menu is properties.
Yeah, okay.
Click on that.
And then there's a five tabs, general autoplay hardware sharing. You want the recording tab. And in that recording tab is a checkbox that says enable CD recording on this drive. So if that's not turned on, then you cannot do direct-to-disk recording. Then you need another program to do your burning.
Okay, and that would be, you're suggesting Nero.
Right, Nero or Easy CD Creator. It's likely that one of those already came with your computer, and you may need to find the disk.
I did get Nero, but I don't know what happened to it. I'll have to go back and look at my...
Well, look and see if it's already installed. Right? Yep. Hit the start button, select all programs, and see if it's there.
Right, with my programs. I don't remember seeing it, but I'll check it again, Nero. That's a real good idea.
Okie doke.
Well, I appreciate everything, my friend.
Our pleasure, John. Keep smiling.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Makes people wonder what you're up to.
Exactly. That's very nice. That's one of the problems that people have with any of these external devices is that you have to have some form of driver somewhere along the line, and generally a second program that does the dirty, whatever the thing is. And so if those are not loaded, or if nobody told you about them.
Yeah, so many folks look just on their desktop and figure, then it's not installed. You know, they don't bother going to the start, going to programs and looking through the whole list because they don't have a clue on what the program should even be.
Right, right. All right, our next caller is Cindy. Where are you calling from, Cindy?
Well, I live in Queensbury, but I'm calling from Colony right now, which
Colony,
means I'm not
New York.
Listening to your show.
Unbelievable!
Well, I'm away from home.
Yep.
And I didn't feel like, I couldn't bring my computer, so I'm not listening. But I have a question about, can I set my default on my printer to default to black and white instead of defaulting to color? I have a Kodak all-in-one. Oh, I think it's the 3-1, the mid-grade.
It depends entirely on the drivers. If you go into your printing properties, when you're in a print job, look for a button that says set defaults. So go into the section where you tell it black and white or color, and then see if there's a set defaults button. If there isn't, then you can't.
Because right now I'm changing it every single time.
Right. There also may be a way to save your settings. Some printers will let you save different, they call them printer profiles. so that you can pick a low-res black and white as one profile and high-res color as another profile. So there may be a save settings button or a save profile button or a set defaults button, something like that, in your printing preferences to make those changes saved.
Okay. I will try that when I get home and get the podcast, because it'll be a few hours before I'm home.
Sure.
Sure. Well, enjoy yourself in Colony.
Thanks. Enjoy yourself there, too.
We always Bye. Do. Thank yep. you. Have fun, Cindy. I can't remember why I was in Colony years and years ago. Those years are kind of a haze. I don't know. I don't know. I was. I don't know, but I know. I was in Colony. I'm pretty sure I was in Colony. They told me I was in Colony. I don't know.
You don't
it's
remember?
Like Boston. I've been to Boston twice in my life. The first time it was a blizzard. I saw nothing but white in an apartment. The second time was a hurricane. I saw nothing but fog in an apartment. I have no idea if there really is a Boston. They told me I was in Boston. You couldn't prove it by me. I could have been in Colony for all I know, or there could simply be no Boston. I don't know.
Well, that's almost better. The one time I was flying out of Boston, and Logan Airport is on an island. In fact, yeah. the whole of Boston is basically an island.
I've heard that. I can't prove it.
Yeah, I know. We're taxiing down the runway, and we're ready for takeoff. And I swear to God, the nose was in the air, and we ran out of runway. Had to turn around and try again. Because suddenly I'm looking at water out the window, and we hadn't made it into the air yet.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't know. If we had been meant to fly, we'd have had first-class tickets, I think. We would have been born with them. I don't see – flying is not my favorite thing. Well, it's not the flying so much. It's the way you're treated by the airlines. I mean, why don't they just get honest and shovel us on with pitchforks?
Well, did you hear about the
new regulations as of this fall?
They're trying to push through. They want
you to have to fly naked,
right? Steve
would like that.
Tay is too happy at this moment.
It was the chairman of the FAA, not the FAA, the NTSB.
It's the leather seats that would get
yeah.
me.
They're raising the compensation if you get bumped. They want to allow you to change your reservations in less than 24 hours and not pay a penalty. And what was the third one?
There is the amount of time out on the tarmac.
Right, yeah, they're limiting the time you can get stuck on the tarmac.
Oh, instead of 4.5 hours and not allowed to go to the bathroom?
Right. Now it's going
to
be 3 hours.
Now it's only 3 hours. Excellent. I have a 3-hour bladder. I don't have a 4.5-hour.
But they're raising the bump fees to
and
like
calling it unlimited. Yeah. Very good.
They're raising the bump fees.
All right, that's enough of that nonsense. We're going to take a quick break. I haven't even had a rumble yet. I need my shot at the rumbles. Leave them alone, Rob. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. We have Tay. We have Dory. We have Rob Linton. And we will be back in just a couple of minutes. Longest running computer show in the known universe. Blah, blah, blah. Sound bites, blah, blah, blah. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Right now, America is being counted in the 2010 census. When a census taker comes to your door, they will ask you the 10 easy questions that appear on the 2010 census form. By answering the questions, your residents will be counted, and you'll be helping your community get its fair share of $400 billion in federal funds. Your participation in the 2010 census is vital and required by law. For more information, visit 2010census.gov.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years. Jazz 90.1 is your one source of information for the annual Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, June 11th through 19th. Join Jazz 90.1 as we broadcast live each day from Jazz Street in downtown Rochester, just outside of Kilbourne Hall, between 5 and 9 p.m.
And we are live in downtown Rochester at the Rochester International Jazz Festival. I'm Rob Linton.
We'll have live artist interviews, giveaways, commentary, and much more. Jazz 90.1's Rob Linton, Derek Lucas, and Ed Trefsker bring you the most in-depth coverage of the RIJF each year, live from Jazz Street.
I'd like to ask Mr. Harold Danko to stop on over.
My name's Donto James.
Donto James.
You can also stop by the Jazz 90.1 booth to meet air personalities from your favorite Jazz 90.1 programs and register to win great prizes.
We're inviting folks to stop by. We have somebody who stopped by to become a member. We've had folks dropping in dollars to the Jazz Jar.
We'll see you on Jazz Street.
I love jazz, so I spend an outrageous amount of time listening to Jazz 90.1. It's my way to stay in the loop with the local jazz scene and the local musicians. And I love the specialty programs. They're programs that I cannot find anywhere else. With Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages, I can listen in and stay tuned in with the local jazz scene from my computer and my phone, too. I jump in on the exclusive contests and chat up with people who believe in the music. You can, too. Visit jazz901.org and click on the icons to visit Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages. That's how I take jazz further, with Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chi-Lai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's four locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We have Dory and Tay here in the studio, and Rob Linton, who's just still eyeing the rum balls.
He could take some with him.
Why do you think he's here?
No. I mean,
when was the last time we saw you here?
Donuts,
that's right. There's donuts.
He's got plenty of pockets. He's got plenty of pockets. He can put a few in each pocket.
Are those rum balls in your pocket, or you're just...
glad to see us.
All right, we're going to go back.
Well, we should explain who...
Should we?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, am I doing that? Okay.
Yeah, you can.
Dory is Dory Bernstein. Bernstein? She doesn't care? No, she doesn't care. And Tay is Tayville and some number... Whatever it is, I don't really care.
They're
friends of ours from Second Life. We're in Second Life every Friday from 6 until Linden time. Mm-hmm. And we do essentially this in Second Life. We sit around and answer people's computer questions and chit-chat and make fun of each other.
We make it up.
We make it up as we go. We'll answer pretty much any question you ask. If you want to discuss religious issues, you come to my house and buy me beer. Although last night we were talking about AT&T versus Verizon and iPhones versus...
Well, it's technically all computer related because we're transferring so much data now over our phones.
Well, the thing I got in my pocket, that droid is more powerful than many of the computers I've owned in my life.
Mm-hmm. It is a computer.
It is a computer. Yeah. And so, yeah, absolutely. If we'd had these on the moonshot, we'd still be going.
No lie there.
So yeah, that's the deal. And they've showed up here today because apparently they had nothing better to do except drive from Ohio. And where are you?
South Carolina.
Nebraska. Nebraska. That's right. You're in Nebraska. You're in South Carolina. And somehow, the two of them managed to meet here. It was a match made in radio.
Nothing else to do in Nebraska.
Yeah. Actually, it was a match made in Second Life, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was met in Second Life.
Say that they met in Second Life.
Did we?
They did, and
that's right.
And Dory, of course, had, originally, therefore, never actually seen Tay in real life, and now clearly she's regretting it, but it's too late. Clearly too late.
I drove.
She has no choice.
Yeah, you drove there. She's kind of stuck with you. It's a tough life, but she's going to have to deal with it.
So if anybody out there knows me, don't tell my parents I'm here yet because they don't know. I'm going to surprise them later on.
Because they're not listening?
And what's their phone
they
number?
They might be listening.
See?
Their phone number is 555-1212.
Yeah. That number in Bayonne,
555-1212.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Tony's on the line. Where are you calling from, Tony?
I'm calling from Brockport, New York.
Brockport, New York. And how are things in lovely Brockport?
Oh, it's nice. Sunny. A little few clouds over to the north, but doing fine out here weather-wise. I use email through
Tony, have you checked
Outlook
lately?
Express.
I'm sorry, yep. Tony. I simply did not hear you because Dave was talking.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My problem. I have my email goes through Outlook Express. I am the main person on it, and I have my wife, and I have another name on it that I use. But anyway, on my address that I use generally, when I send out an email or forward one, it goes into my outbox, and then it gives me a message saying this message can't be sent out. Because it's stuck in my outbox. So what I have to do is I go to the outbox folder, find my message, and then delete it. Otherwise, if I didn't do that, and if I kept sending it, people would get multiple emails from me of the same message.
So it is sent, but Outlook says it's not sent.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's sent multiple times. The message that I get is... the message could not be opened from the Outbox folder, and it has my name on it. Server SMTP FrontierNet.net protocol SMPT Part 25 Secure SSL. You know all this jazz?
Yeah, hopefully there's an error message in there somewhere. Right now it's just telling you what the server is.
Error number 0x800420CB. And I called Frontier and asked them to help me out with it, and they said they could. The first technician said he said you better call Dell because I have a Dell computer laptop. And I says, why Dell? It's Microsoft. He says, well, Dell handles all their problems. So I says, okay. So I tried them again, and they told me to call Microsoft. So anyway. The curious thing about this is when I go to my other address, like my wife's address, and send out a message, it does not go in the outbox, and it sends the message properly, and there are no multiple emails. So it's only with my email address that it happens.
So is there something wrong in your account settings, in your mail identity? And I'm trying to see... Does Frontier use SSL for sending mail? I know they use passwords.
It says secure SSL. I don't know what that means.
Well, it encrypts the message before it's sending it, and I don't think Frontier uses SSL. You have to put your password in to send a message, but it doesn't use SSL.
You have to when you set it up, you use your username and your password.
Right.
So in Outlook Express, where is it? Tools, accounts. You have to check the sending server account information.
Tools accounts.
Right, and that will bring up your list of accounts, and you need to edit your email account. And in those settings somewhere is your outbound or SMTP server setting, and you want to uncheck SSL so it doesn't use SSL.
Uncheck SSL.
Right.
Well,
you should be able to call them, and they will walk you through it. What is your email?
If you call Frontier, they should be able to help you.
Yeah, they should, but I called both technicians were confused about it. They couldn't help me, although they were quite enthusiastic about it.
Both technicians?
Great technical service for them, but they couldn't do it.
Both technicians at Frontier?
Yeah.
So you called twice, and they couldn't do it?
Yeah, I call on different days.
Well, maybe if you call them this time and specifically say, I need to turn off SSL, they can show you how to do that.
Could I do it myself?
If you can find that setting inside the Outlook, yes.
Just ask them, if I can't find it, call them back and say, help me turn off SSL.
Right.
All right. That sounds like a way to go.
Okay. Good luck. Let us know how you make out on it.
Yep.
Hey, Nick, you don't know me, but years and years ago when you had a store up on Main Street, you were pushing Osborne's.
Yes, I was.
And I had one.
Good for you.
And I took it to work with me, and everybody's going, wow, but it's got a small screen, you know.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, I'm unhappy that they went out of business because I thought it was a pretty nice machine.
It was an astounding machine. Yeah. They were brilliant engineers and lousy, lousy businessmen.
That must have been it.
That was exactly it.
I just found a tech note on Frontier's webpage on how to set up Outlook Express for sending mail. And you should be able to walk through those screens and make sure that yours looks exactly the same way.
Steve will post it on our website at soundbites.org.
Okay.
It doesn't say SSL. It says secure password authentication.
Yeah, there you go.
Secure password authentication.
Yeah. Yeah, but check that out. If you go to our website at soundbites.org,
yeah,
click on links. The sixth one down is the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. Steve will have that up in about 2 minutes.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Have fun.
You're very welcome.
All right. Rob's out of the building, so we're we're back to party time. Yeah, that's one of the toughest things, I have to say, is setting up email. Every company is different. Every email program is different. One of the things that I have to commend Microsoft for is this. When you set up a Windows 7 machine and tell it you're going to an Exchange server, once you push that first button, as long as you're on an Active Directory system, as long as you've been set up correctly by your administrator, everything else is automatic. It finds you, puts you on the system, connects you to the Exchange server, finds the right store for you, puts everything up on your screen, you're done. And that is brilliant. I have to say, that is brilliant. Microsoft has done a great thing. So is that. And when I set up when I set up Gmail on my Droid, it was exactly the same. All I did was put in my username, my password. It did everything else for me. And Exchange runs on mine. Exchange runs perfectly on it. But you do have to do a little more. You have to put in more than just your name. Oh, no, you're right. It worked the same way. Name, password, done. You're absolutely right.
Rich, Apple. Did you get on the line? Nope.
No.
Rich?
So Apple, Apple Mail does the same sort of thing. It tries to read.
Rich, did you make it?
No, not yet.
Okay, hold on one moment.
To Apple Mail.
I wasn't sure. I apologize.
Yep.
It switched over and
things got confused.
I've
told you, one rum ball at a time.
Why?
For this reason.
I got two cheeks.
Yeah, you do. I'm not going to talk about them, but you do.
Yeah. So yeah, Apple Mail does the same sort of thing. It reads your email address
and
looks up all of the server information that it needs in order to set up your mail automatically. The one annoying thing it does, here in Rochester at least, is it starts by assuming SSL. And Time Warner doesn't use SSL here in Rochester. So it hangs for 2 or 3 minutes trying SSL before it gives up and then tries without SSL.
Right.
So it looks like it's crashed, but it isn't. It's just working. It's got to give up.
Personally prefer email that uses SSL, that uses some form of encryption. It's just safer that way. All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Rich. Where are you calling from, Rich?
Rochester. Hey, Nick, it's me, Richmond.
Richmond, how are you?
All right, bud. Hey, I have a question about these replacement antennas on our wireless, on the wireless boxes. Are they worth putting on the routers? For the higher dB levels and all that, supposedly to increase your range and strength?
They can be, yeah. We just were talking in Second Life last night about a guy that got a Bluetooth signal to go over a kilometer by using a big antenna. And that's normally 10 meters, so it went 100 times farther than
it
should.
Yes, they are.
They're pretty expensive.
They're not cheap, and there's more to it than just the power of the signal. Some wireless routers only normally work at 50 or 60% of their full power. You can go into them, and again, it depends on the brand, but you can go into them and check all of the settings. You may find that you can boost the setting to 100%. I actually had to do that on my Netgear router since I live in a Faraday cage My home. Well, it's the previous last century was built, and consequently, all the walls have chicken wire in them, inside the plaster. So you can't get a radio signal out there with a gun. I don't care what you try. So by boosting the signal, I was able to get it downstairs to where my wife likes to keep her computer. But it was hard to do, I couldn't do it with the old D-Link router, even though I added a directional wireless plate thing. But yeah, if you've got the right router and you've got the right enhanced antenna, they work real well. Actually, if I put the D-Link pointing out the back window, you can go all the way out to the end of my yard. And
that's nice. The reason the router manufacturers sometimes limit the power so you don't broadcast to your neighbor's house. So
right.
In your router, you may find a setting to boost the power. But
right,
other than that, the antenna.
It all, I find myself even like a floor above my, because my router's in my basement.
Right.
But I'm getting very good to good. And I think I should be getting excellent. There's no reason for me to be getting excellent.
There is a reason.
Basements are tricky because of all the metal I-beams holding your house up.
And the pipes running through the bottom, through the ceiling of the basement.
The heating and cooling pipes. Metal
that's
blocks
right.
the signal.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Maybe I should remove it from the basement. Maybe
well, if you can roll it up a floor, you know, pull one wire through somewhere and put it up on the first floor, that will certainly solve most of your problems. But again, check to see if you've got... check to see if you've got it boosted to 100%. See, I can't. Richmond and I don't see each other at market anymore, so he's got to call the show. He's reduced to calling the show like an average human being. Richmond, we got to run. That song tells me that we're done for another hour. We'll be back for another hour, but we're done with this hour. I've apparently had too many rum balls, and now I'm rambling. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dory Tay, me, Nick Francesco. Rob Linton has gone away, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the longest-running computer show in the known universe. You know who we are. We are Soundbites, and you are listening to us exclusively on Jazz 90.1, member-supported Jazz 90.1 on the air, on the web, on the podcast, on the go. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole nother hour of Soundbites.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of the 2010 Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Look at all these bills.
Oh, we need help.
Credit counseling can offer relief. SESI Debt Solutions can show you how. We're a not-for-profit organization with a track record of helping people get out of debt and stay that way.
It says they'll work with our creditors to reduce interest rate, eliminate late fees, and lower monthly payments.
Don't face your debt problem alone. Call 888-829-7801. That's 888-829-7801.
I want to tell you about a time
in American history
so it never repeats itself.
My family was ravaged.
Thousands and thousands died.
And then one day,
there was hope.
Before vaccines, there were few ways to help protect against deadly illnesses.
I never want my grandchildren to see what I saw.
Remember, vaccinate.
A public health message from the American Academy of Pediatrics with support provided by Sanofi Pasteur. Visit protecttomorrow.org.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, presenting Red, White, and Boom, featuring the Marcus Roberts Trio, Saturday, July 3rd at the Constellation Brands Marvin Sands Performing Arts Center. There'll be fireworks after the concert. For more information, you may call 454-2100 or look online at rpo.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we have Dory and Tay in the studio with us. And at 2 minutes after the hour, we are launching headlong into the second hour of our first anniversary show on Jazz, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Year is going by fast.
Far into our 20th year.
Yeah, we're coming up on 21 years exactly being right on the radio.
Well,
but
this is our 21st year.
Right. But
we're in our 21st year.
But what I'm saying, though, is just this year alone has gone by so fast.
Well, you know, when you're having fun, which apparently we are. I did not realize that until this moment. But apparently we are having fun.
Doing something right.
Those are good rum balls.
You liking those?
I think I've had my limit, though. I have to drive in an hour. No,
which was one?
No, two. I had two.
Oh, there you
one
go.
One for each cheek.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
I told you, I started those on Tuesday. And got those fermenting.
And you're still eating them.
No.
I see. You started making them on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You started eating them on Tuesday.
No, I left.
All right, then.
No. I don't touch them until...
I've heard of Lost Weekend, but an entire Lost Week? Jeez and crackers.
No.
Right.
Totally zoned out. But no, like I said, no, I let those ferment, and it wasn't until yesterday I pulled them out and tasted. I told Tay, you got to try it. And that's when I had
them. Oh, and you had to force them.
Yeah.
You poor guy. That violin should be way smaller. All right, Mac users downloading free screensavers and a video converter app from several popular download sites also got spyware that installs a backdoor, collects data, and sends encrypted information to remote servers, according to security company Intigo. Didn't we used to play that? That was Stratego.
Mm-hmm.
The high-risk spyware, dubbed OS10 Opinion Spy, was being installed along with nearly 30 screensavers developed by a company called 7Art and an app called Mish Inc. FLV to MP3, according to a list compiled by Intigo. They were found on Softpedia, Mac Update, and CNET-owned Version Tracker, according to a post on Intigo's Mac Security blog. Version Tracker has removed all of the items on the Intigo list by late afternoon. Representatives from Mac Update and Softpedia said the companies had disabled the screensavers on Tuesday and had never offered the Mish Inc. converter. Our users were discussing the software installed alongside the 7Art screensaver as far back as March, Mac Update said in an email. The spyware, a Windows version of which has existed since 2008.
So just like other ports to the Macintosh, it took 2 years.
Exactly. Right. Is not contained in the apps, but is downloaded during the installation process. It's often marked as a market research program called Premier Opinion. It claims to collect browsing and purchase information for use in its market reports, but it can also come with no warning or message, Intigo said. It's unclear exactly what data are collected and sent to the remote server, but they could include personal information like usernames, password, and credit card numbers, according to the post. The spyware runs as root with full rights to access and change any file on the computer, opens a backdoor using port 8254, scans all accessible files on local and network drives, analyzes packets both entering and leaving the computer over the local area network, which lets one infected Mac collect data from other computers on a school or business local network or home local network, injects code in with no user action required into Firefox, Safari, and iChat, copies personal data from those applications affecting the code of the applications in the Mac's memory, regularly sends encrypted data to a number of servers using ports 80 and 442 about which files were scanned and other information, including email addresses, iChat, message headers, and URLs. The spyware can be automatically upgraded to add new features without the knowledge of the computer user and does not require a reboot. It occasionally asks for the user's name or prompts the user to fill out surveys via a dialog box. So our question to you, still feeling smug, you unprotected Mac users? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. The era of the smug Mac user, I believe, has come to an end.
finally in the wild at a,
not that they'll
at
admit.
A public place.
You kidding?
Right. Well, they've been around for a while. It's just that they've been semi-rare. But this was on three of the best download sites there are.
Most of the Trojans to date have been on the porn sites and the pirate sites. So,
so you got them.
Right, yeah. Don't go into seedy neighborhoods and you won't get mugged, yeah.
Right, but now it's been out there on Main Street, and that's very, very bad. So you got to be a lot more careful now. You Mac users should probably be going to the Security Tango at securitytango.com. Click the Let's Dance button, select the Mac Arena, and that's the Russian thing. The Tay is not a dancer. I think it's safe to say, not a dancer.
That's absolutely correct.
and print that page out and follow it to the letter and clean out your machine. Our next caller is Donna. Where are you calling from, Donna?
Lovely Henrietta.
Lovely Henrietta, New York. And what can we do for you in lovely Henrietta?
I'm having major boot issues, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what's causing it. I think it might be the motherboard. I had the system in. Dave did some work for me in December, and it was working okay, but he had sporadic issues of shutdowns and whatnot. Reinstalled Windows, put a new fan in, and it would work somewhat. And then now it when I turn the power on, it starts, and then it just dies. It just shuts itself off.
Powers off completely?
It powers itself off, yes.
Power supply would be my first guess.
It could be heat-related. Do you have air conditioning?
I do.
Or what,
right,
what I've seen also, though,
that.
Is within a lot of – because it is the summer months. The house has been all closed up. A lot of folks, we're getting machines that are just packed with dust.
Well, Dave, you are Dave, right?
Yes, I am. Last I knew.
No, it's Donna. You know, I was an intern for you for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I remember you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And I don't run the AC all the time, and the PC is in the basement. It's not, you know, overly damp. It's actually the coolest place in the house, which is good. So I don't have to turn the air conditioning on. But it's been developing this problem over time in that I could get it to boot sometime. And then sometimes it would hang. And I even made one of those AVG CDs that's a Linux-based to try and resolve and figure out what the problems were. And what would happen is I'd boot to the CD, and it would start running the program, but then it would hang after anywhere between 2 minutes or 10 minutes. And now the system just won't even, you know, I turn the power on, it just shuts itself off.
All right, Donna, you've got one of at least two, maybe three problems. Nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition. It could be that it's filthy inside, because if it's in a basement, it's going to pick up dust and dirt.
Actually, I've blown it out, so I know it's real clean.
Okay, then the other thing is you could just have a heat problem, although it doesn't really sound like it because it's in the basement. But the way you check that is to put a fan on it.
Open the cover and then put an external fan blowing in the chassis.
Right, and then turn it, you know, let that cool it for a while and then turn it on. But it could also be either memory or the motherboard, and the only way you're going to figure that out is to bring it to somebody like Dave and let them check it out.
How many memory cards do you have in the computer?
I have three. I have a total of 1028 memory, and I just initially when these problems started a couple months ago, I had someone look at it, and he received the memory, and that resolved the problem. But then when I went to check the memory, it only showed two sticks of memory instead of three. So I bought a new stick of memory, put that in, got that going, so it shows all three memory sticks are working. And a friend suggested to me, and tell me whether you think this is nutty, that the thermal paste might just have, you know, be
that's
bad.
What I was just going to say. Possible, I just had a client, matter of fact, famous client, the CPU fan on his was going. And what it had done is also, besides it going, and it was getting overheated because the thermal paste, they put such a thin layer on it, it had dried up, powdered to nothing. So it was overheating the fan unit even, that it was running well over 225 degrees.
Yeah.
Had to replace that whole unit.
Wow.
So,
and so that would cause it to shut down immediately, right?
Well, over a little time. And, I mean, it doesn't take long for it to heat up, and then
the thermal circuits shut it down itself. To protect it. Yeah,
right. So I'd get it. I would definitely get it checked out. It could still be one of the other memory sticks, or it could easily be some
sort
of overheating.
Got to do some diagnostic on it.
Try one memory stick at a time and see what happens. That's an easy way for that, because it may not be the memory card itself. It could be the slot on the logic board.
Right, but then you have to worry about which logic slots. The memory has to be in order for it to boot up at all.
Yeah.
Well, actually, back when I could still get it to boot, I did. I swapped out the memory sticks and moved them around, and was able to get them finally all to be recognized.
Well, but that was then, and this is now, right, Donna? I mean, it could be that they've been going bad.
Oh, okay. I didn't think of that.
Right. Yeah.
Because one stick is absolutely brand new. I just got it like a month ago.
But the other two are not.
The other two are, I'm not even certain. Somebody built this for me a year and a half ago, so I don't really even know the history of.
Well, and if all three of those memory sticks came from the same batch and one of them went bad, the chances are not horrible that the other two could go bad. Right, because they're all from the same batch, and usually if one of a batch is bad, the chance of others being bad is high.
Well, actually, two of them are possibly from the same batch.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because they originally all three would have been from the same batch. You only replaced one, so you've still got two more that could go bad.
Yeah, okay.
That's my point, yeah.
Okay, understood.
Okie doke.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Donna. This is what really is one of the big problems with computers in general, is the amount of detective work you have to go through.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the only ways to test something like that is to replace the part and see if that fixes the problem.
Or, you know, sitting there and do the diagnostic, which, again, can eat up some hours.
Yeah. Well,
because it's not, you know, it's like the typical, you take it into your car into the mechanic and say, it's making this noise. He gets it, and it's not making that noise. It takes a little time for it to actually make that noise and get it going.
Where's the noise coming from? What's in that spot that could be making the noise?
Mm-hmm. And that's why you bring your computer to people like Steve and Dave, because they have the right tools, the right diagnostic utilities. It is the same with a car. You can fix your own car up to a point, unless you've got a fan puller and all of the metric this's and that's's, and you take it to a shop, not only because of their expertise, but also because they've got the tools. And they've got the people who can tear it down and replace a part and see what happens. And the same thing is true of these guys. You know, if you're one of those people like me, I've got 42 computers sitting around in my computer room. I can swap pieces and parts all day long.
And you sweat anytime you get going
into
your computer.
But I don't do it because I do not do hardware. I do not do hardware. So when
that was an interesting evening.
I don't do hardware.
Go over to his house and we're starting to open up, and he's just starting to sweat and sweat. I said, "What's there?" He said, I get nervous anytime I go into the case.
I don't.
That's all right. Let me at it.
That's right. That's your job.
Boop. Did it.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell him what happened when you first set up my machine. This machine. Yeah. See. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want me to tell this story.
No, you can. I don't care.
All right. So he sets the thing up. The case is off. He turns it on. It works perfectly. He goes to reach for a screw and drops it down the motherboard because it's set vertically, right? Drops it down, sparking all the way down the side of the board. He looks at it and says, well, this was apparently DOA. Took the whole thing apart, took it back, sent it back, got me another one. We set it all up. Made sure we put the key,
but I don't know where the heck
somewhere
that,
else
that screw came from.
It came from where you put it on top of the power supply. I watched you do it, and I said, "Are you sure that's safe?" You said, "Yeah, it's not a problem." Okay.
So long ago, I don't.
Yeah,
remember.
Believe me, I
selective
remember this.
Memory.
Plinko.
It's
yeah.
A little pachinko thing. It was actually very funny, but. See? It was very funny because I knew it was his fault and he was going to fix it. So for me, it was actually kind of funny.
Usually you drop one of those screws inside you have to take the whole thing apart again.
Yeah, it was apart. There was no case on it.
That's
how it happened.
Or they even wind up working themselves under the stupid motherboard.
Yep. And you got to take it up and you shake it a little bit, see where it's...
Once it's off.
Yeah.
Why? That's no fun.
That takes time. You leave it plugged in so it stays grounded.
Oh, I can
Had I known he was going to do that, I'd have turned right. Oh, had I known he was going to do that, I'd have turned it off so I could see the light show.
See, that's the
no,
problem.
You know what?
The lights were you paying extra to watch?
I would. Yeah. Well, yes, see, that yeah, was it.
$50 an hour to work. You know, $100 an hour to help. $200 an hour to watch.
But my other technician, Wally, one time we were, and he goes, I remember he says, I don't know if we should hook this one ribbon cable up to here or over here. I says, I don't know. Give it a shot. He goes, well, I don't know. And
see, this is 220 AC, and this is 5
DC. I'm going to go ahead and do it. So he does. Doesn't it set his butt back about 10 feet?
Yep.
Set him flat up against the wall, and the smoke's coming out. I had to literally, it's the one and only time in my life in the 20-some-odd years that I've been doing this that I had to use a fire extinguisher.
Dan,
all the smoke's coming up from guess that wasn't the right thing to do.
Dan right now is writing down, do not listen to Dave. Dan is Dave's partner at
Dan and
NYPC. I don't even think Dan's writing it down. I don't think he's listened to you in years.
No, he
doesn't. I'm pretty sure he's smarter than that. He's just going,
you're catching on to that too?
To him? Exactly.
You want to put that where?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's the whole thing. We could write some stories, you know, I mean, a book on some of the stories, you know, stuff that we've seen over the years, you know, through our shop and that.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's scary.
It is scary. All right, back to the news. 2 weeks after announcing a business version.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I got it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got one other thing. Talking about shocking stuff. Last week, I almost got set on my butt again. This is, you know, not quite an Uncle Dave story hour, but I get a laptop in. And I, you know, set it on the bench, and I go to plug it in. You know, it's all curled up, so I go to plug it in because it's close. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling this massive tingling in my hand. And I quick dropped it. Here, this guy brought the laptop in. His hamster decided to chew on the wire. And I looked. If I had moved my hand down another 3/4 inch, there was all this bare exposed wire.
And he didn't think to mention that.
Oh, no, no, it gets better.
Excellent.
It gets better.
Possibly get better.
I tell him, you know, I quick unhook that, and I put that my power supply up to it because I got a universal one. And Sam even takes a tag, puts a tag on it, says, this unit must be replaced. Defective wire will not work properly. The following week, doesn't the guy bring it back in because he wanted us to add some other memory to it? Didn't he take that whole unit and tape it up? And then he's got the nerve to wonder why it's not working correctly, properly charging it. And the tag is still on it telling us to replace it. Here's your sign.
Exactly. That's funny.
Talk about
funny.
Mental midgets.
That's funny.
Oh, I mean, we even wrote on it.
We've started taking pictures of machines as they come in with obvious signs of damage and some that don't have any obvious signs until you open the case up. And because invariably the customer says, well, I didn't do that.
Yeah, right.
We had a machine come in full of coffee. Well, I didn't do that.
Yeah, right.
It's liquid coffee still in the computer when I open it up. Well, I didn't do that.
We
okay, you didn't do that. Someone else did while I live alone. Okay. Okay.
Right.
you have pets?
Right. is your cat, in fact, a coffee fiend?
Yeah.
Right. We had a faculty member bring in a machine once with tire tracks on it.
I don't know what happened.
And said it broke. I don't know what happened. I do. I do. And all I have to do is match these treads to your car, and I'll tell you how it happened. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dory Tay, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1, streaming online worldwide at jazz901.org.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 appreciates your support through membership. But did you know you can support Jazz 90.1 in other ways as well? For example, by donating your old vehicle. When you donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1, we receive cash and you get the tax deduction. We even come pick it up. To find out more, call 966-5299. When the time comes to change vehicles, think of Jazz 90.1 and call 966-5299.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chalet Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center. Using the Burdenco method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young and the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside. The Radisson Hotel is located along the Genesee River in downtown Rochester, adjacent to the Riverside Convention Center. They offer standard rooms and suites, a heated outdoor pool, sauna, fitness center, and wireless internet access. The Radisson Hotel is also within walking distance to all of the Rochester International Jazz Festival concert venues. For more information, rates, and to make reservations, you may visit www.radisson.com or call 546-6400.
I move.
I pick myself up.
And dance for all to see.
My lines so elegant.
My arms so straight.
I had to share. You will not stop me, multiple sclerosis.
Because I am a mover.
And a shaker.
I'm Tennille.
Shahida.
Samantha.
Tamara.
Daniela.
Jackie.
Anne-Marie.
I've been living with MS since 2002.
2003.
2001.
1997.
Join the movement at nationalmssociety.org.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
We have Dory and Tay in the studio, and at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, those of you who are watching on the Ustream, really, you need to be sorry that you're not here in the studio.
We have more fun off air than we do.
We do, and these guys are seeing it. You know, Dory and Tay are seeing it, and they probably think it can't be this way every week. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's usually worse. That's your second time. Jim, you know.
Yeah, Jim knows we're not lying because this is the second time.
All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Roger. Where are you calling from, Roger?
From Greece.
And what would you like to say to us?
I would like to say I've got a problem.
And what is your problem?
It is I use Mozilla Firefox.
Right.
And Earthlink for my email. The way my computer was set up is that when I opened Firefox, it went right to the Earthlink sort of main screen, and there was always a bookmark. What you call it? Toolbar at the top of the screen. And everything worked fine. Tuesday night was the last time that I used it that things were good. When I opened it up Wednesday, the bookmark toolbar is gone. And I don't know. I've been clicking on, you know, everything I could find, like on the...
And what is your homepage now?
I guess my homepage is Earthlink.
So that still works?
Yes, Earthlink email works.
In the
and Earthlink is still the page that comes up first?
Yes.
In the View menu, there is a Toolbars command where you can turn on and off the different toolbars.
Now, where is the View menu?
Between the Edit menu and the History menu.
Right at the top of Firefox, you'll see File, Edit, View, History.
Might be slightly different. Are you using Windows?
Yeah, it's Windows.
Might be slightly different order. I've got Firefox for Mac, and Nick has got Firefox for Linux. But
but it may also be that that's off too. Are you also missing that menu?
I don't know. I don't get. Let me see. I don't normally go to a Firefox screen directly.
When you bring up Firefox, you don't have the toolbar anymore.
Correct.
Do you have the window frame around the thing, or is it just come up full screen?
No, this is an Earthlink.
No, you have to be in Firefox first, right?
No, it comes right up into Earthlink.
But Firefox is opening the Earthlink homepage.
Yes.
Right, so you're in Firefox. The program you're running is Firefox.
Yes.
And at the top of the window, there is a list of menus. One of those menus is the View menu.
Well, hold on.
Okay, I don't see any list of menus.
Here's the deal. When you bring it up, hit F11.
As I'm bringing it up?
No, after it comes up, after you see the Earthlink page.
Okay.
Hit F11. You may be in full screen mode, and hitting F11 will take you back out of it. When you're in full screen mode, you don't have the toolbars. You don't have the menus. You don't have anything.
Okay. I just hit F11, and it eliminated a couple of the toolbars at the top of the screen. It's just Earthlink now.
So now you're in full screen mode. Hit F11 again to go back out of full screen mode, and you should at least go back to where you were before with the buttons that are available.
Right, but I still don't get back to a bookmark.
Right, you have to find the View menu and turn that toolbar back on.
So I've got to go into Firefox and find a View menu.
Right.
Right.
The menus in Firefox should be File, Edit, View.
And they should be right above where you see your. Right above, they'll be below the window title, and above. You're on a PC or a Mac?
PC.
They're below the window title and above the actual Earthlink page. There should be a list that says File, Edit, View, etc.
There is not. All I've got is a blue bar at the very top. The first bar across the top says Connect with Earthlink. Da 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 da. Mozilla Firefox.
Right.
And it's got minimize buttons and close on up in the upper right hand corner.
Just below that bar should be your menu bars.
Okay, below that bar is the internet address bar, http://www.
Yeah, above that bar should be the menus.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing there. That's the second bar down.
And
I've kind of gone around this screen looking for something, like to expand toolbars or something, but so far I'm not finding it.
F10 should open up the file menu.
Okay, let me see. I just did F10, and okay, yes, it did. It gave me the File, Edit, View. Okay.
There you go. That's where you want to be. And under View, one of the choices should be Toolbar, and under Toolbar, one of the choices should be you have Navigation, you have Bookmarks.
Now, Bookmarks Toolbar is checked.
Well, you said you saw the Bookmarks Toolbar.
I used to, but I haven't, recently, but when I just click on it now, when I click on toolbars and open up the Bookmarks toolbar is checked. So does that not say that it should have been active?
It should be there now.
Maybe it's pushed off to the side.
Yeah, it could also be pushed off to the side. I hate to say this, Roger, but somebody's going to have to look at that. When it comes to visualizing things on the screen, somebody's actually got to be looking at the actual page, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
There may be a preference file you can delete to put everything back to the way it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find where that is.
Well, that may not even move that, though. So I'm afraid you're going to have to take it to somebody and have them look at it and see how to bring that back, because it could be off on the side or down below.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
It's there.
It was just there. Now,
there's a safe mode that will temporarily disable.
Okay, that's it. On that line, file, edit, view is bookmarks.
There you go.
There it is. It's there.
Okie doke.
Thank you very
much. The menu,
our pleasure. Okay. Thank you.
The menu bar was missing, not the bookmark
bar. Yeah, the menu
bar
was missing. So he's good now. And that is one of our problems, of course, is that for a lot of things we can fix it. But when it comes to UI stuff, user interface, pictures on the screen, there's not much we can do about that here.
Trying to visualize.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because, like that other one, we got talking, and then it wasn't until after we went through a lot of iterations, then he tells us, oh, by the way, I'm running this.
Yeah, right. It's on Linux. All righty then. Hide that until the very end. Why don't you?
Call again and we'll try again.
Back to the news. 2 weeks after announcing a business version of its Google App Engine application building and hosting service, Google acknowledged that the performance of the product's data store had been chronically deficient for weeks. To make up for the recent string of outages, slowdowns, and errors, Google is waiving data store CPU costs retroactively effective to the May 31 bill and until further notice. The data store problems, so now's the time to try it because apparently it's free. The data store problems, which have rippled out to other App Engine components, have been caused by the platform's growth, which has outpaced server capacity. I got to tell you, it frightens me when Google says that growth has outpaced server capacity, because Google has more servers than everyone else on Earth put together.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different reasons for our growth over the past few, for the problems over the past few weeks, but the root of them all is ultimately growing pains. Our service has grown, listen to this, our service has grown 25% every 2 months for the past 6 months. Really? Think about that.
Ouch.
And that doesn't mean they're 75% higher than they were 6 months ago. It's 25% of 125%, then 25% of 100 more. Google is scrambling to build up the service's infrastructure to stamp out the issue, but performance is expected to remain rocky. They just handed me the rum balls again. There we go. What does that say?
I should have had some rum balls earlier. The pain has disappeared.
The pain has disappeared. Excellent. Google is scrambling to build up their infrastructure to stamp out the issue, but performance is expected to remain rocky for the next 2 weeks. The situation is ironic because Google App Engine is a cloud-based application development and hosting platform created so that developers could focus on building applications without having to worry about garden-variety computer issues such as server problems. As with other cloud services, App Engine's selling point is that the vendor, in this case Google, is better equipped to handle IT infrastructure tasks than most, if not all, of the potential customers, and thus should be entrusted with handling tasks like hardware provisioning and software maintenance. The problems come at a particularly bad moment because Google made a big splash at its I.O. developer conference in mid-May with the announcement of an App Engine version for corporations. Their new version, called App Engine for Business, is in limited preview, but Google hopes to make it more broadly available later this year. The regular version of Google App Engine debuted about 2 years ago and is intended primarily for developers of consumer web applications. App Engine for Business, aimed at corporate developers creating in-house applications for their companies, will have features that IT departments typically need, such as IT administration console, a 99.9% uptime service level guarantee, and technical support. So our question to you, have you thought about putting all your apps and documents on the web? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Operator is standing by.
I am?
Yes, you is.
Literally.
I want to know if I can, maybe I should start selling those for medication.
There you go.
Medicinal purposes.
Patent medicine.
That's right.
Good Snake for oil. What ails you.
It is good for what ails you, but I don't think it's medicine in the traditional sense. Actually, it is medicine in the traditional sense, since many of the snake oil salesmen sold rum and and
liquor,
all kinds of liquor and in as a
I think it's medicine. It's probably just my heavy hand.
Wine is fine, but liquor is quicker.
Candy is dandy. Wine is fine.
I also have to let folks. Golda in Wyoon, they were all worried about not getting theirs. Theirs is already on the way, as is Kenzie's. Rumballs.
So you didn't trust these two to bring them.
Heck no! I wanted I want to stay on the good side of the rat.
Yeah, that's very smart.
I thought you couldn't ship hazardous material through the Postal Service.
If it fits, it ships.
It fit, it shipped. It went Friday. No, I...
solid state, so it doesn't run on the box or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't dare trust these two. I figure, you know, I'm going to send them home with their own. There's still some left.
You're right.
Then that way, because I know that they'd sit there and say, oh, they got crumbled, and, you know, we had to just, you know, they weren't...
terrible.
Weren't.
It didn't fit in my suitcase. I'm failing to see your point, Dave.
Yeah, right. He says with a mouthful of rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the big thing, you guys. There are open container laws in every state you will be driving.
Now, is that open at the moment or has been opened?
It depends on the state, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, Texas, I think, is a little different.
I went. I actually got stopped once, and there was a bottle of something, some sort of whiskey, in my trunk. Actually, it was a 12-year-old bottle of Pinch in my trunk that I had brought to a party and was bringing the rest home, because that's not something you really leave around.
Like a responsible.
Exactly, and it was it had definitely been opened, and the guy laughed. He says, "You know, this is illegal." I said, "How illegal can it be? It was in my trunk, and I'm driving." He said, "Well, there's that," and he let me go. But
how are you supposed to get it home from the liquor store?
Unopened. It was open. It had been open. So,
but it was sealed again.
No, it was closed, not sealed. And that's the difference. Yeah. How would I have been able to prove I had not been drinking in the car?
Yep.
I would have had to take a breathalyzer test and all of that. Unfortunately, I had just been at a party. Although, I'm one of those one drink. I'm a cheap date. One drink, I'm done. I'm basically done. But I did... he did say, well, you got a point there, so I'll let you go.
I like the commercials that are on now with the cars full of alcohol.
Oh, yeah, and they open up the
door. The door opens up, and the beer oozes
out. It's right
out
up to the past the door level.
I like the one with the martinis with all the olives floating around.
Yeah. Sir, have you been drinking? And this wall of alcohol comes out, drenched all over the cops, shoes
right.
And everything else.
Yep.
Why do you think so?
It's that old joke about turning the ocean to beer. Now I have to urinate in the boat.
Yeah, right.
I've never done that.
You've never urinated in a boat?
Not that anybody saw.
All right, hey, that's important to know.
Did you hear about the other big Google news this week? Google has decided to stop doing Windows.
Yes, they have.
Actually, it started in earnest last January when the Chinese attacks were first discovered. But all the new hires at Google, and every time they replace a machine at Google now, they are not using Windows. New people can use Mac or Linux, or presumably the Chrome OS whenever it starts working.
They say fall, whatever that means.
Yeah, so no more Windows at Google.
I have a friend who is a fairly big noise at Google. And he uses nothing but Linux. And in the beginning, he was apparently quite the loner in that. And now it's pretty much everywhere. Going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dory Tay, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 40 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites on 1180. Oh, see? Now you made me do it.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1, have it picked up, and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1. Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside. The Radisson Hotel is located along the Genesee River in downtown Rochester, adjacent to the Riverside Convention Center. They offer standard rooms and suites, a heated outdoor pool, sauna, fitness center, and wireless internet access. The Radisson Hotel is also within walking distance to all of the Rochester International Jazz Festival concert venues. For more information, rates, and to make reservations, you may visit www.radisson.com or call
546-6400.
Look at all these bills.
Oh, we need help.
Credit counseling can offer relief. SESI Debt Solutions can show you how. We're a not-for-profit organization with a track record of helping people get out of debt and stay that way.
It says they'll work with our creditors to reduce interest rate, eliminate late fees, and lower monthly payments.
Don't face your debt problem alone. Call 888-829-7801. That's 888-829-7801.
This is station manager Rob Linton. Not only is Jazz 90.1 your one source for everything you need to know about the Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, but we're also the only radio station in town to be giving away tons of tickets and club passes to the RIJF. Not only that, but we'll give you a chance to win a grand prize package consisting of an overnight stay at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester Riverside, plus a Jazz Festival club pass. Club passes sold out weeks ago. Keep listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1 for your chance to win.
Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And with Dory and Tay, it is 43 minutes after the hour on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And I want to apologize. It's been 365 days since we started, not 1,180 days. I don't know what I was thinking. We're moving on now.
Let's keep going.
Now Dory's run over to see whatever Rob will type. What? Now the United States Federal Trade Commission has reached a... Look, if he's going to leave us here alone, we're going to be in charge doing whatever we want. And
yeah, but I'm running the book.
If he doesn't like it, then he can come in here and be the adult supervision. The U.S. Federal... The U.S. This is serious stuff. The United States Federal Trade Commission has reached a settlement with Florida spyware vendor CyberSpy Software 2 years after suing the company for selling 100% undetectable keylogging software. Under the terms of the settlement announced Wednesday, CyberSpy can keep selling its remote spy spyware, but must take new steps to prevent it from being misused or advertised as a tool for spying on someone else's computer. To prevent its program from being used illegally, CyberSpy must make changes to it to prevent surreptitious installation and encrypt data transmitted over the internet, police their affiliates to ensure they comply with the order, and remove legacy versions of the software from computers, the FTC said in a statement. The FTC sued CyberSpy in November 2008 in an effort to get it to change its business practices. CyberSpy used to advertise its product as a tool to let users secretly and covertly monitor and record PCs without the need of physical access. Today, it's billed as a tool that lets users spy on their own PCs in order to keep tabs on children or employees. Not that there's a difference. The company previously had provided detailed instructions on how to attach a remote spy executable file to an email message disguised as a photo or legitimate file attachment, the FTC said. Today, CyberSpy simply advises users to do a Google search on compressing executable attachments if they want to send remote spy to their own computer, and keep it from being blocked by email filters. How careful are you about opening email attachments? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And I haven't even had a rumble. I can't even blame it on that.
My fault.
It's Tay's fault. Clearly, it's all Tay's fault. Whatever it is, it's his fault.
Sorry.
Okay, we're going to dip into the mailbag, as opposed to the rum balls. Wow.
Might be safe.
Let's ball more rum.
Yeah, right. Marv from Rochester writes, are there any updates or revisions to the Tango for the Windows 7 operating system? Actually, Marv, I'm getting this question a lot recently. The Windows Tango, the Windows Waltz, is in fact the Windows Waltz. And it works on every version of Windows. The software works... That I show works on every version of Windows. So no, there's nothing different you have to do for the Windows 7 operating system. You just have to download the software and run it. It takes a while, about 1,180 minutes. But when you're done, you'll have...
You like that number, don't you?
When you're done, you'll have a clean machine, whether it's Windows 7, Windows XP, or even the other one.
Yeah,
all the companies have since updated their software for Windows 7. Although we are seeing that a lot of the new software won't run on Windows 95, Windows 98, and you have to have XP to run some of this newer software.
Well, yeah, hello.
Well, and that's the point. XP's been out for 10 years. You probably should be
right.
At least
you really should not be surprised if you have Windows 98 and new software doesn't run on it.
What?
Yeah, no. Tay suddenly thinking, but my 386.
And it's no longer supported.
I've got 128 mega RAM for Pete's sake.
Ooh, he upgraded.
Yep.
That was last week.
But yeah, that's hard. On the other hand, I just set up an old laptop at work. P3, 128 mega RAM.
Why would you do that?
With Linux. Okay. And I used Puppy Linux. And it runs like a top. Spins for a while, falls over, stops. No, I mean, it runs great. It runs great. It's fast. It's clean. It does, you know, everything I need it to do. And I was just trying it out. It's a work machine, unfortunately. So it's just work. But it still runs. It's not, you know, it's not, well, this is useless, throw it away. It runs and it works.
I have a Pentium 2 Dell that's 14 years old that I have damn small Linux on.
Oh, yes. Yep. A Pentium 2 with damn small Linux. Right, runs like a top.
And even you know, some really old computers that you couldn't run a new operating system on, you know, turn it into a digital photo frame.
Right.
And just run pictures on it, you know, and anything can run
or
pictures.
Wheel
or, you know, a clock or, yeah, you know, wheel chalk. Yeah.
It's a wheel chalk.
And then take it to Dave to get repaired.
Right. Go for it.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
What's his treadmill?
Listen, I watch CSI. I'm matching these tire treads against your car.
Well, I've read stories from cops that are saying the criminals are getting smarter. They're watching CSI too, and they're not leaving cigarette butts around, and they're not doing so. A lot of the things in CSI that catch the stupid criminals.
And they're saying that things like Law and Order and all of those TV shows are really ruining real trials.
Yeah.
Because jurors expect to see that kind of orchestrated, clearly defined stuff. And when somebody says we couldn't forensically get this evidence, they think, wow, those are lousy forensic scientists. Because clearly it's a 4-minute deal to get that stuff.
Yep. Abby gets it.
We love Abby Shudo.
One of our customers' sons is doing a summer job at NCIS and loves it.
The real NCIS.
The real NCIS. You know, he's been there a couple of weeks, and it's exactly like the TV show.
Can you give Abby my phone number?
I know, yeah. He said he got to sit in on an autopsy.
Cool.
Because, of course, then you remember the old Quincy, where the opening credits of Quincy is the autopsy where he whips the sheet off and all the police start fainting. And
oh, yeah, and he gets the saw.
Yeah, by the end of the opening credits, every cop has fainted.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Now, going back to computers, though, a friend of the show, Chris Reich, takes lots of old computers, particularly old Macs and you know, machines that you can no longer find a version of.
Legally
find a version of OS, whatever, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Please don't throw away your disks.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem, isn't it? If you've thrown away the disks for some reason, you cannot legally get another copy of those disks. So if you want it to resurrect at all, you're going to put Linux on it, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
I told you years ago, they were giving away. I try to support all the little fundraising efforts for students at RIT. You know, buck here, buck there. It's not. I mean, I'm not going to give them $100,000 because I don't have it. If I could, I would. But so I always, you know, buy the raffle tickets or whatever, right? So I was in the student union one day walking through for a meeting, and they had a booth there with a raffle. I didn't even look at what the thing was. I just pulled out a buck. And the guy says, oh, the great PC guru is going to get a ticket for a Mac. They were giving away a Mac. And I looked at me. I said, yeah, it'll run Linux, won't it? He almost came over the table at me. I mean, I'd forgotten there are a lot of Mac people out there with no sense of humor about their computers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to come over the table at me. He was angry.
But it does.
It already does.
But it does.
It already does, yeah. We're earning BSD.
Now it does. All right, our next caller is Dennis. Where are you calling from, Dennis?
Hey, I'm calling from Henrietta.
Save us from ourselves, Dennis.
Oh, I'm trying to take a shot at the trivia again.
Yeah, please.
Is the answer Bill Gates?
you need that dinger, yeah.
We don't have the dinger. But you win, and so now you get your name on the wall of shame.
Oh, great.
If we ever start one, you'll be there.
I had a question. I heard rumors, and you guys may have already talked about this, about AT&T changing their data plan rates.
Oh, yeah.
If you order an iPad this weekend, you can lock in.
Yeah, the new AT&T's new rates, which is $15 for 200 megs, or $25 for 2 gigs, and they're eliminating their $30 unlimited plan. So $25 for 2 gigs, and then $10 a gig after that.
So if you're one of those people who watches movies on your iPad,
yeah,
HD movie is 3 gig, so it will cost you $35 to watch that movie on Netflix, and you better not do anything else for the rest of the month.
Yep. So those new prices take effect on Monday, the 7th. So buy your iPad, iPhone today so you can get that $30 unlimited plan. A lot of people are buying their plans today, even though they don't have the unit yet, just so they can get grandfathered in.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
It's a stupid idea. We talked about this earlier in the show, and the other thing I talked about is our poll of the week, as a matter of fact. And the other thing I talked about is that rumors are that Verizon is going to follow suit, and I think it's a really, really stupid idea.
So they're essentially charging by the byte for data?
Essentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get it in lumps, but you get a bucket of data.
So it's the same way they charge for minutes, but they offer rollover minutes in AT&T, but they don't offer rollover data.
No, they don't.
Well, because you're more likely to exceed your data plan than to have any left.
Yeah.
And I predict that people are going to look at the quality of Sprint and T-Mobile in their area and switch to them and get a different phone. And as Tay said at the beginning, they've tripled the disconnect fee, but it's still, return on investment is still good. You do that disconnect, get the data plan from the other guys, and you're still saving money.
Right. So you can just swap the SIM card then, and
if you have to change your card.
Oh, I see.
Even if you have to get a new phone, it's still cheaper.
Okay.
So yeah, absolutely. We're not fans of the new AT&T charge.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know, guys. Yep.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you.
And we're really hoping it doesn't set this precedent. And in most of the rest of the world, they pay less and get more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
Because we're sheep.
We pay more and get less.
We just go along with whatever happens, and we don't ever complain, and nobody really will vote with their dollars, and they should, but they won't. And AT&T will win. Verizon will follow suit. And most people just won't care. You know, they'll just say, oh, I'll just pay the extra. So what if I can't afford, whatever, because I've got to have my data plan. It's stupid, but people will do it rather than move to something else.
And then they'll get that first bill and go, oh, my gosh.
Right. But and then
they have to cancel their contract.
Right. Or they'll just cut back. Well, I'll still pay it, but I won't use it.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of stupid because that's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. All right, folks, you have clearly wasted 2 more hours of your life listening to us. I have no idea what you think you're doing. But we want to thank you for having done so. We want to apologize for the quality of this show on behalf of everyone at member-supported Jazz 90.1. But we're blaming Tay.
Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the station, the management, or Greece Central School District.
We look forward to your emails. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dory, and particularly Tay for putting on his broad shoulders all the problems we had today. I'm Nick Francesco. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe, although this may indeed be our last week. And we are right here solely and only on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Stay tuned.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.